Poetry Blog. Today we have phoning in a long distance, Camia Davis. Camia, will you talk a bit about yourself?
Hi, again, I'm Camia Davis. I'm a poet scholar, and educational researcher currently at Georgia State University. My work focuses on young minoritized poets and the activism they do in their communities. I also teach and write about those same themes. And it's great to be with you today.
Thank you. And to contextualize it for everyone else, I had the privilege of meeting Camia through a panel that we did, like a roundtable, really, which was a lot of fun, on poetry as pedagogy, basically, or like creative intervention as pedagogy. And I was like, oh, cool, this person has amazing things to say. So today we're going to cover the National Youth Poet Laureate, some of Camia's own research, and then some of Camia's own poems. We've got a ton of content packed for you in just a short 20 minutes. I'm going to ask now that you leave a comment down below here on YouTube or through the ratings on iTunes and ask us any questions that you want about the National Youth Poet Laureate system, and I'll forward them to Camia so that you can get more information that way. And also let us know if this was beneficial to you and if you have any follow-up questions. All right, so take it away. Camia, why did you want to talk about the National Youth Poet Laureate?
All right, so first I'm so excited because early 2019, in the second week of January, the National Youth Poet Laureate program, of which I am the national director, we just announced the 5 regional Youth Poet Laureates of America. So we're really excited that each region of the country, we had our partners across the country nominate young people, and we selected 5 finalists that will be our regional winners, and they will also compete for the National Youth Poet Laureate title, which is really exciting because this year, 2019, will be the 3rd year of that title. And we know the Poet Laureate title for adults has a long-standing history. So we're really excited to offer that to young people across America's primarily urban centers. And just to think about how they are conceptualizing poetry, activism, civic engagement, and the overlap between those two worlds. So I'm so excited about that and happy for them and all of their cities and the partner organizations that host them.
Yeah. I love that, actually. I'm curious, so I'm sure many people are actually, when you say National Youth Poet Laureate, right? Mm-hmm. Or Youth National Poet Laureate, which one is it?
National Youth Poet Laureate.
What's the age range that you're looking at? And what are the types of ways that young people have entered the contest? Like, what has been the process with that selection?
Excellent. So our youth laureates are between the age of 13 to 19. Okay. The process is a local literary organization in their city holds the local title. So, for example, the New York City Youth Poet Laureate is hosted by Urban Word, a literary organization there, and they partner with typically a civic partner. For example, New York partners with the mayor's office, the New York Commissioner on Voting, and together they produce this competition. Across the country, we have a rubric, they submit poetry portfolios, and then they're selected for their citywide competition as the winner. After that, they apply for this regional competition. So all of the cities in a particular region, the youth poet laureates for their cities compete with poetry portfolio, a CV of their civic action. And this year we have a theme poem that was on poetry and democracy. So they submit those poems and our panel of judges selected 5 for regional winners, and we'll do the same thing for national with a different panel of judges, which we're really excited about, but aren't releasing yet. But all of the people that are watching this blog will definitely know who those esteemed poets and artist activists are, and they'll select 1 National Youth Poet Laureate. So very excited. We have young people from ages 13 to 19 that apply, and they get to reign in this title, have speaking engagements, share their poetry in different platforms, both civic and artistic, and help us adults think about how we should be using poetry as a tool for activism in our local communities.
Yeah, yeah, that's exciting.
The 5 regional winners have been selected and announced. I wonder if I should tell you who they are. Well, I'll tell you their cities: Baltimore, Houston, Chicago, Seattle, and Nashville. That's where the regional winners are from this year. And they will compete and really be in community more in competition over the next few months. And in Poetry Month, they will be announced. One of them will be the national winner. And they're performing at the Library of Congress. Anyone in the DMV area will be there April 4th for the national commencement of the Youth Poet Laureate.
Perfect.
So we're super excited and love for you to come out.
Yeah. And actually, now I'm curious who the Seattle one is, because I'm like, if I know them, especially with teaching. But part of what I love about how that's in April is that we can actually use this episode to promote it a little bit, but also I don't think folks watching the vlog necessarily know all the time about National Poetry Month. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting to me that it's being taken up to sort of champion civic poetry and poets that are really engaged in how poetry can change the world or can kind of amplify these issues around democracy. So I'm excited by that. And I know myself as a youth, I always felt like there was this, you're not really a poet until you're 40 kind of attitude. Like, you don't know. You have no, like, space or entitlement to be speaking on these things because you're like a young, kind of immature person who doesn't know the world yet. Mm-hmm. So, and I have a lot of students that feel that way. Like, they enter undergrad with like an extraordinary amount of like world building creativity. Mm-hmm. And it feels like they oftentimes self-report in their writing reflections, having that kind of beaten out of them. So it's exciting to me that there's now this like nationally sanctioned space to celebrate youth poets. What does that have to do with your research? And is there anything in particular you want to highlight about it or any places you might want to send viewers and listeners to check it out so they can keep abreast of the competition?
All right. So if you want to learn more about National Youth Poet Laureate, check out youthlaureate.org. It's a program of Urban Word NYC. You can also check out urbanwordnyc.org just to find out what's happening with poetry. We do a lot of major programs that some of your favorite cities are engaged with through our national network. So check us out there. The way I became engaged in Youth Poet Laureate, my research for academia, so I start off in education, I'm an educator. Like you're saying, a lot of young people with brilliant ideas and thoughts. And I thought to myself, at the time I was in Indiana, how can we give young people an opportunity to share their thoughts and feelings outside of the traditional classroom context? So I started a youth spoken word organization there in Indianapolis and did that work through my school where I was a teacher. And when I went into higher ed and was trying to figure out what would I do a dissertation on, poetry was like a secret, private love. Like, no, that's not for the academy. And then as I grew as a scholar and continued to become as a person, I said, you know, this is who I am. This is true to me. So I decided to make poetry an essential part of my research, firstly as a methodology. So I use poetic inquiry as a form of methodology. And then my topic for the dissertation was young poets activism. And in trying to find where can I get a mass of young people that are thinking about these ideas, the Youth Poet Laureate program came to mind. It was offered to me as from a mentor, and then from there continued a relationship and studied the program largely for about 3 years for the dissertation. Yeah. And just finished that work and came on staff for Urban Word to help produce the Youth Poet Laureate program. Yeah. So a lot of exciting intersections, and that's where I get my identity as a poet scholar and thinking about how we can use poetry as methodology to unpack ways of being, ways of knowing in the world that are really able to be analyzed. And also, as a poet, how do we construct knowledge on the other side of that equation? So pretty excited. And that has bridged into my creative writing as well as my academic writing. And right now in a place of trying to bridge those two worlds in my own scholarship.
Which is tough when you're facing an institution that's so like set in keeping that divide firmly entrenched and hierarchical, right? Of like academic knowledge here, creative production here, like creative production as object of knowledge and like scholars as producers of knowledge. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think the most important work happening in academia is actually when creative work and poetry work in particular, because it's a different type of meaning making, is like the actual scholarship. I'm curious how you would define poetics and poetry as a methodology. Mm-hmm. Like, what about it is your method? You know what I mean? Because like a lot of literary scholars, for instance, are like, my method is basically like scanning an archive and close reading key examples. That's basically it, right? I mean, there's a lot more to it than that, but that's the basics of it. How would you like more concretely describe your method as coming out of poetry?
Definitely. So I use a method called poetic inquiry, which has it's about 30 years of history. It started in like the 70s. What was it? That's way more than 30 years. Closer to 50 years of history. or scholars have been thinking about poetry as a method. So just want to honor, I'm not making this up, right? It's coming from a tradition.
No, you're not.
Right, a tradition of qualitative research. And in that tradition, the poet is looking at some artifact. For me, it's qualitative interviews. So interviews with these young people, the things that they say, and then going into the transcript and mining the poem. So the poem is coming through like the literary tools that we create poetry, but also the qualitative analysis tools that we look at research with. So what are the themes? What are the major ideas that kind of come to the top? And then you skim those off and you write poetry. So what a traditional qualitative researcher would say is this is a theme, or this is a main lesson from this transcript, I would take those same words and craft a poem that does two things. So it helps me analyze and it gives me those qualitative points, but it also helps me interpret, because for me personally as a poet, the way I understand the world is in poetry. So I really struggled in graduate school because I was constantly trying not to be a poet.
Yeah.
But it's how I made sense of things. So I would read these really dense philosophical literary texts, and then I needed to write a poem to make sense of them. And then I would even add a third thing. It helps me give it back to the community in a way that's comprehensible. Because most people don't want to read my dissertation, which is about 250 pages. But a poem that captures some parts of that is a lot more digestible for dialogue, for conversation, and ultimately for my work, for change. If we can begin to talk about activism in a way that people can latch onto it, what can we change?
And when you read scholarly texts as poetry, it's so much more interesting.
Definitely.
You know, in my MFA, I think I wrote tons of poems where I would just like grab quotes out of like these stodgy scholars like Derrida, right, and Foucault, and then like slap it up against some lyrical poetry I was writing. And it was a more interesting analysis to me than like regurgitating and then like expository wise building on. So I love that you're doing this. Before we move more into your own work, can you throw out a couple quick names that you're indebted to from this tradition? Because my own dissertation also talks a bit about like how we need to get back into that tradition. And I know we have viewers and listeners who might want to dive into that archive a bit.
Definitely. So I have so many thoughts in response to what you just said. Made me think of like, I had a very, very, very supportive committee, but this is not normal, like, when you read the qualitative method book, arts-based research is like one line inside the book. So
yeah,
there's a ton of work for us scholars to get out there and let it be known that this is a way of making new knowledge and understanding. And also for artists to find themselves, those of us that choose this path, right? How do we find ourselves in the academy and create space for ourselves? And then your comment about publishable, I've learned like there are actually several places that publish academic poetry, and actually have on my wall this poem that is called Poetry is Research. So yeah,
how about that? I would replace my introduction to my dissertation.
And then I'll add, I wanted to say it's also more work. It's way more work than writing a traditional dissertation, because I have all of the standard qualitative dissertation chapters, but also I have this other chapter and another analysis chapter on just the poetry.
Yeah.
So I think where we are right now, we have to just be willing to do that extra work. But yeah. I also took a class at a university remotely. I took this class at a university in Canada, Alberta University, I think, University of Alberta. And they have a degree in arts-based qualitative research. So the students there are creating, and that's enough, you know?
Yeah.
So it's complex. Scholars that I'm indebted to in this tradition, I would say first of mine is Patricia Levy. Mm-hmm. Second, Faulkner is her last name. Sandra Faulkner, who I had her book on my shelf as frequent reading. And then also the tradition of scholars that are saying we need more types of research. So maybe they're not doing poetic inquiry, but they're saying we need more space for Black female identity, for artist identity. So I pulled on some of that scholarship to say We need more space, and now this is the space I want to carve. So there I would call out Dr. Gloria Lassen Billings, who is primarily in education, but she has several pieces where she's saying there needs to be a different type of scholar and space for that scholar to thrive. I'm also thinking of a book called Humanizing Research. Okay. And it talks about from indigenous practices all the way through things like poetic inquiry and how we need a different type of scholar.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the key people and texts that I lean on in my own writing. But of Carl, that's like so much, like Carl Lego, right? Monica Prendergast, like definitely Monica Prendergast. I'm thinking and writing through that for myself as a poet scholar, right? Using poetic inquiry. And like you said, finding the spaces to write, they always ask, you know, what's the significance of this piece and how will it push the field forward? I think I'm in education as a field, but you know, you can choose the tools you want. And this is a tool that I've chosen. And we need to push for different ways of being. And also within poetry communities, I'm also arguing, for example, you can find lots of research on like found poetry. So you read a transcript and then you pull out all the sentences and you make a poem. Found poetry, but it's not interpretive. It is interpretive, but not in the same ways where you like add words or add phrases. Yeah. So I'm arguing for, I come from a spoken word tradition.
Yeah.
So why is spoken word not valued? Just like you were talking about, it's a not commodified, it's not high art, it's not high poetry. It's like street poetry, but why is that? And who does it displace when we do that? And what's the coded language behind that to say, oh, I do poetry versus spoken word, right? So within our own communities, we added these labels of, what do I want to say? Ways to distinguish, but also disenfranchise groups of people. So I am definitely writing through and thinking through what does that mean for me independently, but also for the field. As we talk about poet scholars, talk about poetic inquiry broadly, who can we include and why is it exclusive? I even wrote some found poems actually just to like defend the work, even though my voice and my interest is really not in found poetry.
Yeah.
Like I have to prove I can do this too, you know?
And I think what's exciting about poetry right now is that with like the explosion of social media and digital media, we also have this like huge celebration finally happening that's way overdue of like performance poetry, which is what poetry was founded in anyway. Like whenever I'm like my students, you know, they don't want to have to write a sonnet. Mm-hmm. Like, you realize that like formal poetry, like with like set metrical patterns, is in like pop culture. It's in all of the music that you're listening to. Like hip hop, rap, and R&B have like a rich tradition of like using these tools to convey meaning. And like we select when we do or do not see it as like academic or like worth studying or like in the canon. And conveniently, a lot of that has to do with like race, class, gender. You know what I mean? Because I think that that's where, as a teacher, you end up changing the face of like research and education and who's in it, you know?
And it makes me think about the researcher as tool, right? In qualitative research, we know that you're the tool. So then we have to talk about the tool, right? We can't talk about objectivity, right? We can't talk about, I just take words and put them together. Like that's an interpretive strategy in itself, the way I see the words fitting together. So why don't we just call that out, let it be known, and then use your positionality as tool. So, you know, there's limits in some ways, but there's also benefits in others. And just be transparent about that instead of trying to hide behind this cloak of objectivity or, you know, I'm only a scholar and I'm looking at this 100% sterile, which is not true because we are socialized human beings, right?
Yeah.
And all of the things are impacting how we see
this
one particular thing. So,
but speaking of, before I forget, I want to hear about your art as well and your poetry and your work. Will you like read for us or share with us or talk a bit about your own poetry work?
Definitely. So for the blog, I'm actually reading poems from the dissertation work, which is about the Youth Poet Laureate. So it's working. So I think I'll read two shorter pieces. The first one, okay, again, to poetic inquiry, my process was to read the transcripts, from the transcripts, pull out key ideas, phrases, sentences, and kind of cadence and tone was important because I hear my work as spoken word first.
Yeah.
So I took that from their voices and then crafted these poems, which as we just discussed is very much me, but it's also them. These are their ideas and them, I'm referring to the Youth Poet Laureates from 20, 15 to 2017. Okay. I just want to like honor that these young people, these are their ideas. And
yeah.
The title of this piece.
Actually, for students listening, this is how you cite in poetry. That's the kind of, you know, how you do it. All right, sorry, continue.
So the title of this piece is On Activism. Put my eyes up.
Yeah.
I am dirty fingernails clawed at forgotten lawns, like tectonic plates at hardwood dinner table shifting context, knowing if I shift, so does every other hinged door on this block. Activism is my right and my blessing, to know my neighbor by name, searching the tool shed and finding a mirror on the door, me peering through these eyes into a cacophony of love masked as anger. I search still looking for tools that weaponize my protest. Of waking up as me today, activism is scratching the rust from the saw and noticing how sturdy it still is, although the blade is jagged. Activism is knowing what my war is and necessity to sound an alarm. Activism is painting glue on the ceiling and putting a trampoline in the basement, then inviting my friends for a jump. It's taking the corpses from my closet, dusty, brown, decaying bodies, twisted mouths with deadbolts for lips, and sitting them on the sidewalk like jack-o'-lanterns, inviting neighbors for tea, Kool-Aid, and wordplay, deep frying my issues and carving them open with a slender knife, becoming fuller of self-certainty with each bite, making rubber gloves from old poems and going to recycle all that trash on the lawn. That's it.
That is so good. I loved that. I loved hearing like the your affect as you were reading it, if that makes sense. Like I could hear like excitement when certain metaphors are like, yep, this is it, like to the bone. I think for me the trampoline and the knife in particular, the rust. That's powerful. Where in your dissertation is it?
So I actually have a chapter that is all poems. Because I felt like as an artist, I just didn't want to qualify, you know, read a poem. That's not how we experience art.
No.
So I just put all the poems. I did organize them by theme. So I just have a whole chapter on that. And then the whole nother chapter on the analysis of the poems.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, also another chapter that's just basic thematic analysis.
Yeah.
Which is a lot less interesting, but still good. So I'm from a social foundations background in education. So really it was interpreting for other people, like to help them understand the poem, the meaning of the poem, how it fit into the dissertation, what it actually is capturing, the complexities of, you know, people that aren't adept to reading poetry. For example, one person asked me, so are you going to write a poem for your dissertation? Like my whole dissertation would be a poem. And I thought,
oh gosh.
Exactly that. So I had to write this chapter to help other people understand the work. So actually in my dream world, it exists separately. Like there's this academic thing. And then there's just like this book of poems that people that like poetry can read and criticize and deal with as poetry.
Yeah.
But like we talked about, I'm actually working towards a hybrid space.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm really excited by it.
And so that's the method, I think that's a whole nother space. I have an article that that's under review right now around just that, like, okay, this is what the transcript said. This is the poem. Now, how do we analyze and interpret? How do we get from point A to point B? Which is, I see being used in like a qualitative methods course, which I would love to teach that class, just on how to do it.
Yeah. I would love to take that class.
Yeah, I would be like, we're poets, but I would be really excited to see the academy open up space to have something like that offered. Like I've had classes where, like I said, it's a little teeny bit there, or it's an icebreaker, but it's not the foundational let's do this method. And spending time with the method and reading so much scholarship on the method, there's so much you could do. And as we know, there's so many types of poems. Can you imagine how much there could be if we really unpack the method piece as relates to creating poetry?
Right, we're running low on time. Is there anything we didn't get to that you're like, oh no, I gotta plug this thing or say this thing?
Oh, the National Youth Poet Laureates will be releasing the first national anthology this April during Poetry Month. It will include poets from all over the country, young poets, their ideas broadly, just about life in this contemporary moment. And I'm so excited. So check it out, youthlaureate.org. You'll be able to purchase teachers, students. It will be a great tool. And I'm really excited as a history, an item of history for this moment in time. We'll go back and see what young people had on their minds. So check out the National Anthology of Poetry from the Youth Poet Laureates this April. Awesome.
Perfect. And for those of you following the blog, I'll also, as soon as it's out, just shoot me an email if I forget to, but I won't probably because I'm excited about this and probably teach it. I'll put on the vlog, so follow on Instagram or on Twitter and I'll be like, hey, this book came out. Go get a copy. Teachers, order a copy for your classrooms and so on. Awesome. Thank you so much, Camille. This was really fantastic. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Everybody else, if you're listening to the podcast, let us know what you think using iTunes, but we're also on Spotify, Stitcher, 11 different platforms. If you want to learn more about the podcast edition, you can go to anchor.fm/thepoetryblog and you can find all the distributors there, as well as all of the different types of episodes, as well as links to everything. If you're following this on YouTube right now, you've already seen all the pop-ups coming up, so you already know where to find us on Instagram and Twitter, but in the description below, I have links to Camille's work, her site, things she's doing, a summary of the episode, as well as a link to the podcast edition. So you should be able to find everything you need. Oh, and before we forget, Camille has her own site, CamilleDavis.com. So if you're listening to the podcast and you're not getting the links in the YouTube description, check out her site. It's actually a really good site. It's well-designed. So you should definitely visit it, CamilleDavis.com. Thanks again, Camille. I really enjoyed this. I feel like this reinvigorated a day of slogging through too much theory. So it was a blast. And everyone else, let us know what you think in the comments, especially if you have any relationship to Youth Poet Laureates or you're going to go buy the book. All right. Bye, everybody.